Log Talk Radio.
And we are on here on October, December 9th here on Pro Wrestling Torch. This is the Wade Keller post show for, I guess, December 9th for AEW Collision. I'm not Wade Keller. I am Chris Maitland. And joining me today is my partner in crime, my good friend, Justin McClelland. Also one half. Together we host the Pro Wrestling Torch Wrestling Coast to Coast show. Justin, how are you doing? Trying to... We're not there. All right, well, we will fix Justin's technical difficulties in a minute and talk to you about this episode of Collision, which is featuring the Continental Classic. Two matches on the show, two excellent matches from a wrestling standpoint. Eddie Kingston defeating Claudio Castagnoli in the opener, and Andrade El Idolo defeating Bryan Danielson at the conclusion of the match. Conclusion of the main event. Danielson got his eye busted open. I didn't quite see it because of the picture-in-picture, which I'm not a big fan of with AEW. But he was able to... You saw him being bloody. Andrade wiping his face with the blood at one point. Still had a good match. I was concerned. I was part of the show last week and thought it was kind of ridiculous that Eddie Kingston ended up being someone who had his lost to a man with one eye. So I thought it would be really good to not have that. So the good that Andrade won. But, yeah, worry about Bryan Danielson's eye going forward. Now we have our technical difficulties sewn up. So I will bring in my good friend, one half of Wrestling Coast to Coast, Justin McClelland. Justin, how are you doing? This went...
Can you hear me now?
Justin, how are you doing? I can hear you now.
Good.
Sorry.
How are you? Great.
I'm doing okay.
Pretty much a perfect night to...
Go ahead.
Perfect night to stay in and watch wrestling, at least in Ohio, where it is quite gross weather-wise.
Yeah, it started storming pretty bad during this beginning of the show. And we had a little technical difficulties at the beginning that we were able to jump on. I apologize to the caller who I inadvertently closed. The number jumped out on me and when Justin called in, so I apologize for that. If you want to call back in to listen to the show, again, the number is 347-215-8558, and emails are available at wadekillerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Justin, I was talking about the main focus of the show being the Continental Classic and the two matches, the opener and the main event, Claudio Castagnoli being defeated by Eddie Kingston and Andrade El Idolo defeating Bryan Danielson in the main event. What were your thoughts of those two matches? And are both almost at the 20-minute limit?
I was pretty fastidious in avoiding spoilers all week since this was actually taped on Tuesday, which is, I thought it was weird because it was actually taped before Dynamite or Rampage, but, you know, we just, through the magic of wrestling, just pretended that wasn't so. I guess before I go further, had you seen the spoilers or were you going in blind?
No, I didn't see the spoilers.
You what? I'm sorry, you did?
I did, yes, I did see them.
Oh, okay. So I would like them to do a draw just to show people draws actually could happen in this tournament. And the way the show, like the timing of the show was, I thought maybe Bryan and Andrade was going to be the match that went to a draw. So, it went very long, like what, 18 minutes or a little over? So
yes, a little over 18 minutes, yep.
Yeah, I thought it was a really good match. I was kind of freaked out by the swelling over his eye, Brian's eye, that is, towards the end. I mean, he wrestled the next night, since that's the Daniel Garcia match was actually after this one in, like, the real world. So I suppose he's good enough to wrestle for whatever that means. But, yeah, I thought it was a good match. I like that. So it seems like he's sort of following – Tony Khan is following the Gedo G1 philosophy, where you would have one league or division bracket where there's, like, two guys who are at the top and everybody else is, like, not really in it. And then you have the other bracket is much more of a, like, tighter race where it's really pretty much anyone's field going, you know, probably until the last week. So obviously that's the blue league is that one. You got like three guys with six and another guy with 3 points already. So that's, I assume, like at some point we could get a draw in this league and that would could potentially eliminate two guys depending on what the schedule is. I wish they didn't say what the schedule is for next week, which, you know, what matches we're going to get, which I wish they had, but.
Yeah, I think one of the detriments of this tournament is that you don't know ahead of time who's wrestling who. And the thing with the G1 is that's scheduled weeks in advance. Sometimes there are issues you can kind of figure out towards the end who's going to be in the mix based on who's wrestling who the favorites are. But I don't believe, and I know they had this sort of almost injury angle at the end with everyone checking on Danielson with Claudio and Yuta coming out, but did they announce any matches for Collision for next week?
No, they have not. I don't believe.
Which to me is, you know, they announced quite a few matches on Dynamite. They had two or three advertisements for the Collision matches, including promos from Swerve Strickland and Jon Moxley, as well as talking about other Dynamite issues like Samoa Joe will be speaking and the Von Erichs return to Dallas. Not to be too mean, but I think the Von Erichs have been to Dallas before. They didn't need AEW for them to return, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think part of the issue with especially this block of the tournament where it's a bit more you're not sure who's going to win, it would really help give anticipation to who's wrestling next week. Who's Brody King going to wrestle since he's undefeated?
Right.
Who is Bryan Danielson when he just lost? Andrade, you know, he beat Danielson. You know, there was a standoff at the end between Claudio and Castagnoli and Andrade. Did you read what Claudio was saying? Read his lips.
I did not, no.
Okay, well, I can't say what he will say here on this family show, but he said,
okay.
I'm going to F you up.
Oh, okay.
Is what he said. Yep. So, won't go into, you can all figure out, use your imaginations, but, you know, it would have been good at that point if they mentioned that, you know, these two guys are wrestling next. You could have had an instant way for them to have a little bit of a conflict. I think one of the things that helped the show this week is both matches between people who wrestled before, Andrade and Danielson wrestled a few weeks ago, and Claudio and Eddie Kingston wrestled twice this year. So there was a more of hey, guys, we're in this tournament. There is a little bit more of a feud aspect to it. I think that aspect enhanced the matches. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would. Well, definitely. I mean, the Eddie and Claudio thing was so heated for so long. I think it that one definitely did. The Brian one's funny. It's funny to me because it's like technically Andrade's like the guy. He actually broke his orbital bone. He broke his orbital bone in the match with Andrade. But the storyline was like he broke it in the match with Okada and Orange Cassidy. So, you know, they can't say that. So it was really, I mean, it's funny, like, they had to sacrifice one story for a different story in that instance. Like, you could have really built it up if you've been, like, you broke the eye once. Now he's going to do it again, you know? But unfortunately,
yeah,
they were not able to do that.
Yeah, that wasn't planned out as well. What are your thoughts on the Miro kind of overshadowing or hanging over Andrade, basically saying that he's going to attack him after the tournament with his couples therapy live on air with CJ Perry.
I mean, well, I think it's they have been very, very clear that there can't be interference, you know, almost like ROH pure level rules of no interference. So you don't, at least to me, I don't feel like he's. However, Andrade wins or loses, it won't be because of Andrade. And the same with like Wednesday, Adam Page cut this promo on Swerve like it wasn't over, but. You know, he's not going to interfere in the Continental Classic, I don't think. You know, everybody's supposedly banned from ringside. So hopefully, I don't feel like it hangs over it too badly other than to probably suggest Andrade's not going to win because he and Miro will probably fight it at World's End, I'm guessing. But I don't know
have
how many
they,
people really... Have they stipulated...
No, so have they stipulated, I mean, obviously they talk about people who are in the tournament interfering and them having a penalty, but have they said anything about just anyone interfering in the tournament receiving some sort of penalty?
I feel like they did. I can't place it. But, I mean, no managers are even allowed at ringside. Like, CJ Perry had to go back. And I think when Jay White came out, like they made a big show of the gun club getting sent to the back.
Because it would so, be I mean, kind and, of I, a great. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying like, so I don't know. I feel like they're trying to prove as best they can that, you know, like we're going to run a clean tournament here.
Yeah, because you'd have a great angle if, like, Andrade was going to win the tournament and then Miro attacked him or attacked his opponent and so he ended up losing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would
but
be, I think that would be
I
really
don't
good.
Think they, I don't think they definitely don't want the finals to be like that. I just don't think, they could say, like, Andrade would have made the finals except for Miro interfering. I'm pretty sure they want like try to do like a true classic like G1 final style match is my guess.
I think so, and that match will be, that match will be on the pay per view. Am I right?
Yes.
Which is when World's End? I believe the date is December 30th.
Yes.
From lovely,
three weeks
lovely
from
NASA
tonight.
Coliseum. That's right, lovely NASA Coliseum
not
where
it
I saw.
Anymore.
Yes, I'm aware, but it's always yeah. NASA Coliseum to me. That's where I saw my very first wrestling show back in 1993. Before I think it was the Friday before SummerSlam '93.
Wow. Do you remember what was
main
the
main event?
Do you remember?
It was the Head Shrinkers against the Steiner Brothers.
Oh wow.
But we're setting the scene again. This is the Wade Keller post show for AEW Collision on PW Torch. I am Chris Maitland. The other voice you hear is Justin McClelland. We co-host regularly Wrestling Coast to Coast, a daily cast focusing on independent wrestling. We had an episode earlier this week where we interviewed MLW Selena De La Renta and went over MLW's most recent episode of Fusion. This week we'll talk about MLW. Major League Wrestling's one-shot premium live event. That'll be our episode next week. But today we're here to talk about Collision. If you want to call in and speak to us about it, the number is 347-215-8558, as well as you can email the show at wadekellerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And if you are on the line and you want to hear or you want to ask us a question, just press the 1 button so we know that you're not just on the line listening, and we will patch you through. There was another lengthy match on the show, which I have a lot of thoughts on. Not the match so itself as much as quite the idea behind it, and that was Kenny Omega defeating Ethan Page. So I will throw to you, like I do on our podcast, about the match itself. What were your thoughts? And then we can talk about That, and then I have a few questions for you on, like, why we think this match came together. But what were your overall thoughts on that match?
I mean, it was, like, this is, like, damning with faint praise. It was, like, good, but it was not, like, a top-tier Kenny Omega match. I didn't think. I thought something, I don't know, it lacked something. There were a couple of, like, fairly crazy bumps, where they suplexed each other over the top rope. Pretty wild spot. The early on, like, actually, like, when Ethan Page did, like, popped it, like, I don't know what you call it, like, a step in the ring into the, you know, cutter, I was like, that was really spectacular. I don't know if that's part of his regular arsenal, since we don't really see him wrestle all that much, but, I mean, I thought that was really cool. Definitely, like, the move of the match. I don't know. It was weird because it was, I mean, it was pretty much a foregone conclusion, like, Kenny Omega was going to win this match. But at the same time, they're trying to promote, like, Ethan Page having a big, I Quit match with Tony Nese on their Ring of Honor pay-per-view. And Tony Nese is another guy who never wins on AEW television. So definitely, like, I don't know. It did not make, like, that match seem all that exciting to me. Now, I don't watch Ring of Honor, so I don't know, like, the build-up for it, but I'm guessing, you know, probably a lot of the audience doesn't watch Ring of Honor either. Like, I don't think I even knew they were having a match until I saw, like, an email a couple of days ago where they were, like, the contract signing for their big match is on Ring of Honor television this week. So, I don't know, like, you know, it was a good match, but it wasn't like – I didn't think it was, like, anything spectacular. What did you think?
Yeah, I mean, I perhaps I remember saying that I'm a big fan of Ethan Page. I was co-host last week on the post-show with Wade talking about Collision. I talked about how I watched Ethan Page going back to his Evolve days. He stood out in Evolve not because he's a good wrestler, but also the fact that he was actually one – now had a character as opposed to just we're just going to give matches back in 2016. We saw, of course, a very wild brawl between Ethan Page and Darby Allin at one of the WrestleManias we went to.
I believe the – well, what was – I think it was 2016.
The Orlando one, I think.
Oh, was it Orlando? So that'd be 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But to me, the whole thing about this match is that it was thrown together so hastily. You have someone, I mean, it was kind of ridiculous, Tony Schiavone in the commentary talking about our two great Canadian stars. It's like, okay, Kenny Omega is a star. He's a former world champion. He's probably one of the, you know, best push wrestlers in the company. Ethan Page hasn't been on AEW TV, I think, once in the last several months. And so it's kind of hollow to say that he's a big star when he hasn't been on TV. It's also kind of weird that the excuse the commentators gave is because they had an angle between him and Nese setting up the contract, and Nese put him through a table, and that's why he ended up losing. But there was no setup for that. I mean, he was almost a completely cold character, and the match was like, you know, he came out, he's like, I want to challenge Kenny Omega. And to me, it's weird because Kenny Omega doesn't wrestle a lot of singles matches on TV. It was just weird that he just randomly wanted to do this match. He just didn't – it just seemed too thrown together for me.
I mean, but, you know, like, because it happened because they were in Canada. Like, it's playing to the home market.
Oh, I have a thought on that later. But, yeah, but I guess to me you can do that. But before you get to that point of this match, maybe build up Ethan Page for a couple weeks.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, I said the same, you know, I felt the same, like, he doesn't, like, you know, he's really not even on TV that much. And
yeah, I mean,
with,
he had the feud with Matt Hardy, the annual Matt Hardy owns someone's contract, and or he's contracted his own feud, and then he kind of turned a new leaf, because I'm not going to go through the whole thing. I can't remember. Anyway, he turned a new leaf, and he was kind of being more of a babyface. Then he went to Ring of Honor and got a good streak and had this feud with Nese, which I don't watch Ring of Honor regularly either, which is ironic for us, since we were the former We were the last Ring of Honor podcast on the Torch during the Sinclair era.
Yes.
We both said we don't watch Ring of Honor now, but it was it's very hard to bring over the Ring of Honor, a show on a behind the paywall, and be like, oh, well, this happened on Ring of Honor, so that's why we're doing this here, and not really recap that or even show it. It just doesn't – it doesn't help the audience. It doesn't really help them understand what's going on.
Yeah.
And what were your thoughts? And again, I will preface my – before I get to my next question, I will preface by saying there is an opportunity again. This is kind of my issue with AEW is he – had this match, it went how it went. Now, if he's doing some kind of character change or there's some sort of development here after this match, that's fine. But if it's just like they were in Canada, he wanted to wrestle in Canada, he had this match in Canada, he lost, and he won't be back on Collision until they're in Canada again, then, you know, that's not really great use of him. What were your thoughts on the match? Also had an angle at the end, Big Bill coming out of nowhere and attacking Omega, and Ethan Page slowly walking and Big Bill going away.
More like
I kind of thought,
like,
well, I don't know why Big Bill. Yeah, he was hobbling. I don't know why Big Bill didn't knock him down, too. I guess he was only concerned with Omega.
I mean, I think, you know, Omega's the guy with the title shot. So that, I think that's his primary concern.
Yeah. I'm assuming that match will be at
at World's End?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
And
cuz Jericho's been off in like Vietnam or whatever in real life. He was injured, you know, he was injured in storyline, so I assume he'll be back by then.
Is that where he is?
Yeah, he was like, he's doing some documentary with like a Vietnamese wrestling company, at least for a couple of days. I don't know where he is now. I lost my GPS system on him.
That's good. I mean, I didn't know. I think, tracking Chris Jericho seems like a very full-time job, not one that you'd want to do. But yeah, I just feel like they haven't set up that match. They had the angle with Jericho, as we said, where he was injured, and then they had Big Bill attack Omega to bring that up. I'm assuming now that match will be on the pay-per-view, or is that a bad assumption again?
I mean, that's my assumption as well.
Another match we should talk about, because we mentioned the hometown crowd, and which was the are they still called 2.0? Are they just?
I was wondering
cool
that
hand?
Too. I'm not. I don't think they're called. I think they're just called, you know, Cool Hand and Daddy Magic.
So they now again. This is a thing to me that with AEW logic now. So they're in Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
And those gentlemen are from Montreal. They cut a pre-match promo. Now, I'll get to the Jake Hager, Soraya stuff in a moment. But they cut a pre-match promo. They come out. The crowd is behind them. They're wrestling the makeshift tag team of Penta and Commander, who are getting booed and acting as heels at the beginning, but then they get cheered and do spectacular moves. And then the hometown team loses. And I thought to myself, wow, that's... What was the point of that? Are you there?
I don't know. I guess I don't have a good answer. I mean, I don't think it's like this terrible thing either. It was weird. I was trying to figure out, I was thinking about it a lot actually, because I knew you'd criticize it. I mean, it was definitely like a weird, I don't know what I would have done in this situation, because they aren't booked strong ever. Like, so I think, like, to have them beat Penta and Commander would have not been, like, wise overall. Especially because, like, Penta and Commander and are gearing up for, like, a big... They seem to be, like, maybe gearing up for a six-man run. It's, like, at the titles with Vikingo. So that wouldn't have worked. Having Penta Commander lose to these guys who lose pretty much all the time wouldn't have felt correct either. So maybe they just should have had them beat like a real low level team, like your Christopher Daniels, Seidel, level team. So they would have been like gotten their hometown pop and just maybe wouldn't have had, the thing was, it was like a really good match, and even if they weren't like, they didn't get to win, but they weren't like totally embarrassed either. So I know it was sort of something. I don't know.
But I guess to me, the issue is kind of the crowd, right?
Yeah.
Do they want them to be cheered? Because they got cheered, obviously, because they're the hometown. And then, so one, you're having these guys who are heels getting cheered in this special, unique situation. But then you're also telling the people in that unique situation that they're going to lose to a makeshift team. Since they are a regular tag team and Commander and Penta are not.
But they're not exactly makeshift anymore. They've been teaming since Rey Fénix went out.
That's true. But the other guys have been teaming for years, so maybe they're quick.
Well, yeah.
They brought their synergy together pretty quickly.
But like I said, Menard and Parker are not strong ever and have not been, I don't think, ever. So really, they're always put in a high position specifically to lose, basically.
No, that's true. That's true. They cut this promo. So you have Hager, who wants Danhausen investigated over his hat.
Yes. An international incident now.
Yeah. Again, the FBI and the Mounties involved. And then,
yes.
Why does Saraya care? I have two questions for you. One, why does Saraya care if Ruby Soho dates Cool Hand Jake?
Cool and Ange.
Ange, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, I think she laid it out in the tonight. Actually, she's worried that Ruby's going to leave her, Tony did.
Is Anna Jay with them now?
Both of them feel they're like this romance is a distraction to like what they're trying to accomplish as a as a unit.
Yeah. But hey, they're young, they're in love.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's sort of like, I actually think like it's sort of a silly like rom-com trope, and I think it's being incorporated like pretty well here. Like, most rom-coms are like the best, each half of the couple has a best friend who's like kind of like the devil on their shoulder and anti-relationship and like trying, like not always, but often is the case, like tries to like the person out of the relationship or.
Yeah.
So it sort of feels like that. Like it's just, I don't know. It's amusing interplay, I think.
Well, yeah, I think there was a little bit of delay, or there is a little bit of delay. Is Anna Jay with Saraya now?
I guess so. It looked like it. I did not know about that part of the angle until just now.
Because she, obviously, long time, former member of the Jericho Appreciation Society with Cool Hand, Ange, and Daddy Magic. So it would be weird for her to be on that side, but I guess Saraya didn't mention that.
Well, I feel like the shenanigans, Ruby and like Ruby and Parker's shenanigans, like, cost her a match a couple weeks ago. So I guess that's, like, her, you know, she's part of the anti-love squad.
Yeah. Again, these people seem to need something more than wrestling. They need maybe therapy.
Okay.
Soraya did mention that she will not be. I can imagine. I wouldn't know. Not a wrestler. But Soraya did mention that Ruby Soho is going to be wrestling Riho and that she will not be there to have her back. So.
Yes.
I believe
they said that would be next week. That is a Saturday match, I believe. That would be the only match
they
announced for Saturday.
Well, last week they announced the match is at the very end of the show, as the last moment when Danielson was celebrating. Oh, I need to get to something on that too. But before I do that, let me set the scene again. This is a Wade Keller post show for AEW Collision, the episode that took place on December 9th from Montreal, Quebec, Canada. I'm Chris Maitland, and with me is Justin McClelland. We normally co-host the Daily Cast Wrestling Coast to Coast, which talks about independent wrestling. If you want to call in and talk to us about this episode of Collision, number is 347-215-8558. You can also email the show at wadekillerpodcast@pwtorch.com. Something you just said, or something that reminded me, was talking about how they didn't announce the matches in Collision until the end of last week's episode, and the very interesting sort of dichotomy of Bryan Danielson at the end of the match, after he defeated Eddie Kingston, this is in last week's Collision, having a sign that Eddie is a bum and putting it over Eddie Kingston, prone Eddie Kingston after defeating him, and then wrestling this match like a total babyface. One of my criticisms of the Blackpool Combat Club is they try to play both sides. You know, they're heel, sometimes face, sometimes very confusing to see what they are. Do you think that's a problem with them, or do you not have an issue with that?
Yeah, I thought it's been a problem. Just because, they do, like, shift back and forth, like, so freely. Like, right now, I mean, Moxley's, I think, a total face right now, it feels like. You know, and Yuta's a total heel, and the other two sort of shift, especially Danielson goes back and forth all the time. Like, last night on Rampage, he wrestled pretty much a face match against Daniel Garcia, and then after he won, he spit in his face. And then gave kind of, like, if you go on Twitter, it gives, like, kind of a psycho interview regarding this. The crowd feels like they really want to cheer them, especially Danielson. He can pretty much bulletproof they're going to cheer him no matter what, but I do think, like, they want him to just be a babyface, and it feels like he himself wants to be a heel, so it's sort of a real push-pull there.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, obviously him and Claudio are going to have a match at some point, not yet announced. Also announced that they're teaming with Jon Moxley on the Ring of Honor pay-per-view. Not pay-per-view.
Right.
I think it's only available to Honor Club subscribers, just like it was a few years ago.
Yeah.
They're wrestling FTR and Mark Briscoe at next week's final battle. What were your thoughts on the, again, mentioning Ring of Honor and the feud that I am very interested in? This is the very brief video highlighting the feud between Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. There was a sit-down interview. I don't think they said either man's name at all. It was obviously edited from a longer conversation with Nigel McGuinness, but shown to highlight their match, but I don't think they even actually mentioned that it's on Final Battle. But what were your thoughts on that video?
I think they did. I thought they said it was on Final Battle.
Oh, yeah, I think it did before. You're right.
But, I mean, I thought it was good. It's when, like, the last time we hosted the show, they ran down that, you know, they ran down their feud quite a bit. And, like, our one of our big criticisms is, like, so what? Like, they don't like each other, but there was no, like, next step coming out of it. So at least now we know that there's a match coming between the two.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, actually. Team, as a person who liked their team back in the day. Of course, you know, the issue, as I said before, with some AEW feuds that the benefit to you is really having a knowledge from several years ago that doesn't they don't maybe reinforce as much now. But I do like the fact on Collision that they have various vignettes of different people, you know, may not be wrestling, but setting up angles, especially at a time where you're having long tournament matches, you know. So we had vignettes from Julia Hart, who I guess is feuding with Abaddon, which I don't quite understand why Julia Hart is obsessed with her because she's the champion, but Abaddon wears a mask. So
it's the battle of spooky. It's a battle of spooky people. Like,
I thought
two spooky two spooky people cannot coexist. Like they inherently dislike each other. It's like, who's the
spookiest?
I like that segment, actually, because I don't remember ever hearing a Julia Hart promo in my life. Or, you know, like, maybe she'd say a couple of spooky words, but this was, like, you know, full paragraphs. And I thought she was fine. Like, Abaddon, she usually only shows up around Halloween. She was actually on Rampage also last night. So, it was good. I thought it was good. Like, it definitely established they have a feud going on. Again, it would be nice to know, like, well, the flaw with it was, like, there was nothing like, oh, what's the next step? Are they going to have a face-off on Wednesday or Friday or something? I do think sometimes those packages are good, but like I said, I think they do need, like, more of a next step. You know, they need more, like, you know, what's the next step so you know, like, how to follow it.
Yeah, similar to the other members of House of Black, which I guess only two, they did a package for House of Black versus FTR after they attacked them last week. And again, this, you know, I just mentioned FTR will be wrestling at Final Battle with Mark Briscoe, but there's, like, no mention, no reference to House of Black. If House of Black dislikes them as much as they say, they should show up at that match. Don't know if they will or not, but what are your thoughts on the House of Black? They FTR that nobody likes them and they have no friends.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was mostly just a recap of last week's, you know, big beatdown. So mostly just to remind. It felt like it's just to remind people it happened.
And I should mention, which we didn't, we had a match from one of our favorites from the Ring of Honor days, as well as someone from my neck of the woods there in Long Island, and that was Willow Nightingale. She wrestled Mercedes Martinez. Again, this was a vignette last week where they showed the two of them talking up a feud that never, but then never saying when they would wrestle, so I was happy to see that, oh, they're wrestling this week. I thought the match was given away when they showed how Willow had lost to her twice before. I was like, I don't think she's going to be losing today. And then she kind of won out of nowhere with a roll-up and then got immediately attacked. But Chris Statlander came down with a chain. What were your thoughts on the match and the feud? I guess setting up a tag team match, I'm assuming, between Mercedes Martinez and Diamante against Willow and Chris Statlander.
I mean, I was, you know, it's always a good day when Willow wins, because I definitely feel like she's one of the more underutilized performers in AEW. I think that she could be, pushed all the way to the title at some point, but mostly she kind of does job duty. And they were talking about, like, remember how she won the New Japan Strong title, but, you know, which was sort of an accident. But nevertheless, I'm like, man, you know, it was like, oh, yeah. And then they were like, oh, and remember she won the Owen Hart tournament, which was, I was like, I totally forgot, because it was like nothing happened from that pretty much ever. So even though, like, yeah, you're right, like, it was pretty well obvious she was going to win, I was excited going in thinking she was going to win because I like her. And then I thought actually they did a pretty good job of making you question that because Mercedes beat on her. And the idea was really like she could have gotten the pin. She had her like, I mean, she gave her like a couple different finishers, but, you know, just was too sadistic and allowed Willow to basically, you know, get a small package for the pin, which I think is fine because clearly the idea is like this feud is not over. You can have tag matches. You can, you know, crisscross with like Willow fighting Diamante and Statlander fighting Mercedes and then Willow going back to Mercedes for like some final blow off. So I think as the idea, this is the start of something bigger. It was a good, like, you know, first or second step.
Yeah, Willow is, you know, again, obviously preface our remarks being a favorite of ours. And it's always good to hear a theme song twice. But
she is
an example with what you said of kind of AEW's haphazard booking because she won the New Japan Strong title, obviously. She won that during the circumstances that Mercedes when they got injured. But still, she was the champion and really wasn't brought up much on the TV. She won the Owen Hart tournament, which I did not even remember, and that was when was that? Was that in, like, the summer?
Yeah, it was like July or August.
Yeah, but it wasn't like February or March. And so,
no.
To me, she hasn't been someone that they focused on, and she's been start-stop. You know, my first episode or my first appearance with Wade talking about Collision, that we talked about we hadn't seen Willow in a while. I think they brought her on TV a couple weeks later to actually lose to Julia Hart when Julia Hart was being set up as a challenger for Chris Statlander for the TBS title she now holds. But she hasn't had a consistent focus on her. I think, you know, when I first saw Willow a few years ago, and this may be my thoughts as a girl dad, I said to myself, like, she's a wrestler that, like, if my daughters want to watch wrestling, which I have probably one who, she'd watch a little bit of wrestling here and there, my older daughter, I would like them to watch Willow. I think they really like her because she has a fun personality and she's not being utilized even with the opportunities given to them. And even this match here, it's like she won the match, but as you said, she kind of won it by fluke and then she got immediately beat up. And so she doesn't even get to shine in the win. And that's not really a good way to push her, especially since she's a babyface. She needs to be put in a position where she's looking good in her victories.
Well, I see. I guess I don't think fluke wins are necessarily terrible, especially if, as long as you still follow up on them. Like I said, if this is just the start of their feud, which it felt like it, then I think it's fine.
Yeah, I'm just putting things in context. It's like this was just the one thing on this one show, then that's fine. I'm combining it with the underutilization throughout the year as a total package. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Lex Luger of maybe not the best way to present her.
Was Lex Luger on your pre-SummerSlam 93 house show?
He was not. They did announce that obviously, he'd be wrestling in the main event a few days later, which he did against Yokozuna. And he did not win the title, much to my chagrin. This has gone over quite a bit in the last 30 years since that happened.
Yeah, definitely one of the most analyzed booking decisions, I feel like.
I mean, I'll put it this way about that show. I was blessed by the fact that my parents had cable and we got every wrestling pay-per-view because there weren't that many back then. Between WCW and WWF. And
right. It's like
I think
eight
we
a year
didn't order that. Yeah, they're probably eight a year. Maybe, you know, it's between 8 and 12 maybe at that point. But we did not order that pay-per-view because we assumed he was going to win. It was a Sunday night. And it was just like, nah, he's going to win. We may have had something else going on. I can't remember now. It was 30 years ago. And then when like I found out he didn't win, I was like, huh.
I didn't get the pay-per-view. But, like, you know, watching, you had to wait a whole week until Superstars to find out what happened. Because I didn't have cable. And, you know, then I was like, oh, he didn't win? What? And, I was there like, huh.
Yeah, but again, not exactly. I mean, there was a documentary, I think, on A&E on Lex Luger, and talked about that, and it was on I can't remember if it was on A&E or on the WWE Network, but good documentary on him and how that didn't happen. But not that you compare Willow to him, but I think Willow has a type of personality where people want to get behind her, they want to cheer for her, and they want to see her win. Now, again, obviously, as a babyface, she has to conquer adversity at times, but, you know, I don't think they've necessarily utilized her as well as they could, but I think that can be said about a lot of women in AEW's women's division. There was one match we haven't touched on. I want to get back to a couple of things in the tournament matches, but Wardlow versus Willie Mack. Willie Mack, I don't believe, is an AEW contracted wrestler. He's someone who I'm a fan of, watched from an Impact and AAA and other places. He took this match because he's friends with AR Fox, which I don't know how they established that, but he's friends with AR Fox, and Wardlow had punched AR Fox, so he took this match. I like the finish that Wardlow just powerbombed him and walked away. I thought that was pretty interesting, and I also like the fact they actually mentioned on commentary that he's the last wrestler to pin MJF. What were your thoughts on this match, Wardlow, and who got a lot of cheers, by the way? He was very, very popular with the crowd.
Yeah, I mean, if you establish a guy who just, like, you know, powerbombs dudes every week, pretty much, I think they usually get over, at least in the short term, you know. I thought this was, like, fun. This was, you know, Wardlow, like, you know, massacring a guy. But, like, Willie got some, like, fun, like, offense in. I thought the ending was pretty cool where, I mean, Willie doing his, like, Rana is always spectacular because of his size, and then Wardlow actually blocking it and doing the power bomb. Like, you heard the gas to the crowd because that was really awesome. I enjoyed him, like, not even bothering to wait for the ref to, like, officially stop it and just being like, hey, it's done. So I thought it was a good, like, presentation of Wardlow. I enjoyed it. This is one of those context things. It's like, but how long is this going to go on? You know, like, he's mad at the world. He's mad at MJF. But MJF has, like, two challengers ahead of him probably. So I don't know. I think it really does run the risk of, like, burning people out before we ever get to, like, the payoff.
Yeah, I think they've gone into 80s. I thought about Jim Crockett Promotions, and I didn't realize what this really meant as a kid, but how everyone talks about Dusty. Now, I didn't know the time that Dusty was the booker, but Dusty was basically feuding with the entire heel roster.
Yeah.
And at times, you know, mentioning it is one thing, but I know they're trying to have this kind of murder mystery of who is attacking MJF.
Yeah.
Who is the devil? But it kind of takes away from the feud. It takes away from the fact that, and maybe this is an assumption on my part, they haven't said this, that the Continental Classic winner will probably want to fight for the AEW title. Don't know. They'll have their own triple crown, so they may not want to. But that was it's good to see Wardlow back. Kind of, you know, he's someone who also kind of lost his way when they had to do more than just have him powerbomb people, and hopefully he can regain that momentum over the next several months going into 2024. So this is seen once again. This is the Wade Keller post show for the December 9th episode of AEW Collision. I'm Chris Maitland. With me is Justin McClelland. The number to call if you are on the line, you want to speak to us, is 347-215-8558. If you are on the line and you want to talk to us, press the number 1 and I will put you in. You can also email the show at wadekillerpodcast@pwtorch.com. And we've gone over the show pretty much. I do want to point out that I was a couple more things before we wrap up. My favorite point was when Lexi Nair was interviewing C.J. Perry, and C.J. Perry was going over all the accolades of Andrade, and then Miro showed up and he was like, "Well, you never said that about me." And Lexi Nair was like, "I'm out of here."
Yeah.
That's someone who knows, you know what? Not the place for me to be right now. I need to be right on my way. So very aware is Lexi Nair. The opening match, Eddie Kingston was able to, not exactly in the manner that Willow beat Mercedes Martinez, but kind of use leverage to pin Claudio Castagnoli and get his first points of the Continental Classic. What were your thoughts on that match, Justin? It was almost, I think it was probably in the 17, 18-minute range as well as the main event, and Eddie Kingston getting his first points of the tournament.
I mean, I thought it was an excellent, excellent match. I think I might have liked it a little more than Danielson Andrade, actually. I thought Eddie is just such a – I think he's been a really compelling character. I mean, that's one of his great strengths is, like, his character work and this idea, like, they're in – you know, he put up his belts. He's the only guy who really, like, put up something, you know, tangible to get into this tournament, and then he's, like, you know, now suddenly his back's to the wall, and, you know, he's desperate, and, like, you can feel the desperation. The beginning, like, you know, the match starts, he immediately, like, hits basically his finisher. He does the spinning back fist and, like, the backdrop suplex, and I was like, honestly, like, I thought it would have been kind of cool if he just won right there, you know, to be like, he's back, he's in it. But the way they also did it where, like, he was in dire straits of losing for pretty much the whole match, and he could have, you know, it could have been a, it could have gone to the draw because it went so long, and then he basically would have been out as well, you know, and ended up pulling victory out. I, you know, not quite a fluke, but definitely, like, not decisively either. I thought it was really well done. So yeah, I thought this, the whole story of the match, I thought was great in and of itself, and how it played into the tournament as a whole to kind of, now, you know, it's one of those muddling the fields. Now, like, everybody's going to – this is the bracket where everybody's going to be very close to each other. What did you think of the match?
I thought it was a really good match. I think they put on a pay-per-view quality match, both that and the main event. My one thought was, I don't know whose idea it was for this tournament. I know Eddie Kingston is a huge fan of Japanese wrestling. I thought, are they specifically putting him on this journey where he started off slow, losing his first two matches to Bryan Danielson and Brody King, and then will go on to be victorious, or at least win his block?
I would think so. That's how I felt. Because, I mean, even his, like, post-match interviews, if they focused on him more than anybody and how, like, depressed and desperate he is. So I definitely thought, like, he's going to come from behind and, like, advance to the final.
Yeah, and I wish they probably have him. I haven't looked on the internet as he's doing the show. I wish they put some of those promos they put, you know, on the internet a few days after. I wish they put them on the show. Not obviously from the main event, but have him interviewed, have Claudio interviewed, put that on during the show, just get their instant reaction of the match would have been great. And obviously the main event, I enjoyed that match a bit more. The you know, I missed, as I mentioned, I think before you got connected, I missed how Danielson got his eye patch knocked off. Last week I complained about, you know, there was a spot where Eddie Kingston was, like, pounding on Danielson, and the patch was moving, and he let up, and it was very obvious, and it kind of hurt my feelings of the match because, you know, that element to it. But this match was not that. This match, you know, the picture-in-picture, I think, was when it was knocked off, but they were very physical. Andrade being very physical towards the end, just looking like Danielson was knocked out before he hit him with the DDT. What were, that match, again, went 18 minutes or so. What were your thoughts on that one?
So I believe Andrade just ripped the patch off at one point, kind of early, because, yeah, he ripped it off, and then you saw, like, the blood. I mean, it wasn't a lot of blood, but it started to trickle down Danielson's face. I mean, this was, yeah, another definitely excellent pay-per-view quality match. Really, you know, really great moves. The idea of Andrade working over the eye quite a bit and it swelling, which was really kind of alarming if you consider he really did have, like, a broken orbital bone. But, I mean, I thought it was great. I was thinking, like, Andrade pretty much, like I said, it either had to be a draw or Andrade was going to win just so Danielson would towards the middle a bit. And there's, you know, so I think if Danielson won, you know, a couple people would have been eliminated, and now I think everybody but Garcia is still alive in it. So I thought they did a really good job. You know, Andrade is really getting established as a killer here. So I thought this was another excellent match.
So now that we are at the halfway point of the tournament, kind of get stopped, kind of where we think we tournament might go in the gold block, which is the block that we have today. We have Daniel Garcia, who is on 0 points. I'm assuming that he is not making an Eddie Kingston Gato style booking return, that he's going to probably enter. He might win one match, maybe. But I think his gimmick
is that. I think he'll win one, like he'll cost. He'll be like, on the last week, he'll win a match that will cost that person, maybe Brody King. That'll cost him, like, the ability to advance.
Yeah, I think his storyline really at this point is more that he's going through an existential crisis that having a poor finish will lead him to make some changes in his career. The next two in the group are Kingston and Castagnoli, who have 3 points each. And then Danielson, Brody King, and Andrade have 6 points each. So who are your favorites? I think they all have three matches. No, Brody King. So Andrade, Brody King have three matches left, and everyone else has two.
Right.
So I don't know if that makes one of them the favorites because they have an extra match, even though one of them, of course, is against each other. But
I think Danielson and Eddie would be the two who make it out of this bracket.
Danielson and Eddie Kingston. He would need so Danielson would pretty much have to beat Brody King, and then Brody King would have to lose to someone else, either Andrade, probably not Andrade, maybe Garcia, as you said before, because of the points.
Right. Or and Brody and Andrade could do the draw, although that seems unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing with
It's hard to imagine Brody, the way he's been booked to this point, not winning the bracket, but they could do it.
Well, see, again, I think one of the flaws is, you know, and maybe they should have announced who's wrestling next week. As you said, in the goal league, it's a bit more clear. John Moxley and Swerve Strickland have 9 points each. Jay White has six. Rouge has three. Jay leads the mark. Briscoe have zero. They are eliminated, as is Daniel Garcia on the Blue League. They cannot finish in the top two. I think, obviously, Moxley against Swerve. Strickland will be on Dynamite next week. That's going to be a very big match, very interesting match to see how it goes. I think the winner is pretty much guaranteed a spot getting out of the group, out of the league, excuse me, using soccer terms. Who are your thoughts of the favorite on that one?
I would I'm going to go Swerve, actually. I think Swerve will win. I feel like they're very all in on Swerve. Rightfully so.
I feel like Swerve should win. He does, I think he needs this type of win more than anyone else. I also want to note in his promo, he talked about becoming the world champion. So I think this is sort of the issue, though, with the way this is formatted, is that if you win this tournament, it's not like King of the Ring, it's not like the Royal Rumble, it is an actual belt. So do you have Triple Crown? Excuse me.
Yeah.
Do you have to defend it? So if Swerve wins, it's like, okay, I want to be the world champion, but I'm a Triple Crown champion. People want to fight me. Is that going to take away from his world title pursuits?
I mean, I think so, yeah. Especially if AEW, like, champions never, like, go after other belts. So it would sort of, like, it would put him out of that contention, I think.
It'll be very interesting how that goes. As we've mentioned, or they've mentioned, the top two of the group will advance to wrestle each other in the league finals, which will be on the December 27th episode of Dynamite, with the final on the December 30th World's End pay-per-view from no longer Nassau Coliseum. But, according to Wikipedia, it still is the Nassau Coliseum.
Oh, I thought they called it something else. Wait, what is it?
Well, the official name is the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum.
Oh, maybe that's just what I...
So those of us from Nassau, just say Nassau Coliseum. But that's the official name. It's obviously fallen out favor or not as prominent in Long Island after the opening of the lovely UBS Arena in my hometown of Belmont, New York, which I have to go to one day. And if I go there, maybe I can win the TNT title, because you win titles in your hometown.
That's true.
We'll give one last shot at the phone number, 347-215-8558, as we are wrapping up here. Doing the Collision post show. I know that we missed a couple weeks here at the Torch with holidays and traveling, other things going on, but we're going to be back to our weekly schedule here, talking about Collision on a Saturday night. There are a lot of wrestling on tonight. There was NXT in Bridgeport. There was an Impact show, I believe, in Toronto. Final Resolution, the last Impact show before they become TNA again in January. Plenty of independent wrestling shows, which we cover on Wrestling Coast to Coast. I've given a couple plugs for Wrestling Coast to Coast. Justin, do you want to give one?
Sure. Wrestling Coast to Coast, it's a weekly show we devote to covering the independent wrestling scene and various promotions around the country, as the name would apply. We also interviewed many prominent independent wrestlers like Silas Mason, Draper, Selena De La Renta this past week. We're kind of in our MLW month right now. We did like a multi-part series on the last MLW PLE for VIP listeners. And then just this week we did Fusion, and we will wrap it up by covering MLW One Shot this week, which, again, I have fastidiously avoided spoilers because I have not watched the show yet. So excited for that. But we cover GCW, Wrestling Revolver, West Coast Pro, Beyond, Action, Dreamwave, pretty much like we try to hit all the prominent promotions at one time or another. House of Glory. So, hopefully we will hit on your favorite promotion too. So, love for you to give us a listen.
That was really good. Also, NWA as well. And,
NWA.
Several OVW. Other promotions. We did OVW, Prestige, freelance, so many. We do a different show every week, promotion, try to go around the country. Sometimes we even hit international, hit a couple in England as well. We have some, we have a fun show planned in a couple weeks, kind of a best of show where we kind of talk about a lot of the different matches that we've listened to this year, or listened to, watched this year, and several other shows, matches we have planned and the schedule ready for 2024, which is coming up in a few weeks. I will give the number out one last time, 347-215-8558. That is to reach us here to talk about AEW Collision. Yeah, as I said before, I think one of the biggest detriments of the show is that we don't have anything, I guess with the exception of Ruby Soho and Rio, to talk about for next week. They were very heavy on Dynamite. They talk a little about the Ring of Honor pay-per-view, but they don't have a... You know, I was a proponent, I know people don't like this, but I was a proponent when AEW started the Collision of doing a brand split, only because I feel that their booking needs to be at a point where they're only focusing on certain people at certain times, as opposed to everyone all the time. And that obviously is not the case, though I guess some people don't appear on certain shows, but there is no restriction. But I think it would help them. I think if you watch the show tonight, you don't have any idea what will be on next week, with the exception of that one match, and then you kind of have to watch Dynamite, which, you know, again, live schedules, you may not be able to. It just may be easier for you to watch Collision with your own schedule. I think they should do a better job of previewing the next show, especially with the Continental Classic. I have one last question to ask you before we wrap up, actually, because you know,
well,
I have some. I have
going back, I actually,
sure.
I actually like the brand split too. I think it is easier to focus on more people that way. You know, I think I don't think it has to be hard and fast, but I kind of like the idea of the soft brand split, which is kind of what we're doing now. You know, especially like the Continental Classic, you know, the Saturday nights for the Blue League, Wednesdays for the Gold League. Unfortunately, like one spilled over to Rampage, and probably another will, I'm thinking, based on how many people have matches left. So it's, they're still kind of in that, like, soft brand split mode. Yeah, I do agree, like, they should... But, I mean, they should plug both shows on every show, I think. And I didn't mind them, like, doing rundowns of Dynamite's lineup, but I did think they should have at least announced the Continental Classic matches for next week, since they have to know.
Yeah, I think that they really need to do that. I think that needs to be really important, have people look forward to it. I mean, again, the 27th is only 16 days away from this recording. It's also in a Christmas holiday period. People will be traveling out of town, so it'd be helpful for them to kind of get that on board. But the one thing I ask about Collision generally, as you know, we've hosted, co-hosted this show, and we'll probably do it again in the future. What my one concern about the show was the Continental Classic has proven to be in the last two episodes that I watched. I missed a couple over Thanksgiving. Has been a great kind of anchor and tentpole for the show. It gives a reason to have these long matches. There's a point to them. There's a progression to other things. And my concern is what will be that tentpole when the tournament goes away in a couple of weeks. They only have a few more weeks of tournament matches. Are you as concerned with Collision maybe not having an anchor or maybe not having a focus of the tournament as I am, or do you think that's not really a big of an issue?
No, I agree. They were, I feel like they were floundering, you know, after, especially after CM Punk left, there was, you know, it felt like they were trying to find their identity, and definitely the brand split was gone. People were just coming there, but it was still, I mean, it's still the B show, which, you know, is always, I feel like it's probably almost always going to be that. And it's, I don't have a solid answer for that. I guess maybe, other than focusing on specific people and making them pretty much exclusive. Like, I think Danielson was still fighting mostly on Collision, but not exclusively. And maybe, like, but I do think you need some people, like, some of your top stars who, like, they're who you see on Saturday night. So, yeah, I do think it could be a big problem heading forward.
And we will see how that goes, see what AEW will be doing in the new year. Not an issue for them right now. They have a few more weeks of the tournament that can take place during Collision. And again, I think, you know, part of the issue for me with some of the folks we mentioned, you know, different areas, Ethan Page, Willie Mack, Willow Nightingale, before you put them in the spot, if there's people that you have something for, you'll kind of build them up a little bit more before you put them in these matches. It'll help in the long run. We'll see if after the tournament is over, if they'll do that. Or is there anything from this episode that we did not bring up that you want to touch on before we get going into the night?
Well, we did Hook and Wheeler Yuta had a brief segment I don't believe we touched on.
No, we did not touch on that. What are FTW rules?
I think it's anything goes.
Okay. Because I remember, this is what's weird about this. So the FTW title was a title given to Taz when he, was Shane Douglas injured?
Yes.
Or was he just, yeah. Shane Douglas
was
the
injured.
ECW champion. Again, this is when it was like 1998.
Yeah.
It's 25 years ago, and
right.
Instead of being the world champion, he was the FTW champion, which he actually merged with the ECW title when they finally wrestled, when he beat Shane Douglas.
Yeah.
But
it was the first interim
title. Yes, step back, and it's been through various wrestlers now with Hook, and Hook and Wheeler Yuta have this feud. I mean, to me, when Wheeler Yuta said he was a three-time pure champion, I was like, how? I mean, I know how, but just like, I just found that to be mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Did they announce when that match was? Is that going to be a Ring of Honor?
I don't know. They didn't announce that. They challenged each other to the match, but they didn't. They need to say, I want to face you next week or at Ring of. They need just. Yeah, say when that match, when they want to do that match.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing that they're missing, as I said before, these promos. It's like they have the promo, they have people interact, they have them set up a match, but they don't tell you when it is. And, like, part of that. I think AEW generally has to have the understanding that someone may not watch the show again, but they're
right.
Watching it today, and you need to tell people, okay, because I'm watching this today, and I'm interested in watching Wheeler Yuta and Hook or whoever. Okay, they're wrestling in 2 weeks. All right, I'll watch it in 2 weeks. Now that might lead to someone being a long-term viewer because they want to watch every week, but you have to assume that someone's watching this for the first time, and AEW, for too much of the show, assumes that you've been a crazy wrestling fan for like 20 years. I think that's really detrimental of them in trying to build new fans and also, you know, keeping interest and just not putting these matches together. Hopefully, I mean, again, we said this before on Collision, so obviously it's not something they've corrected, but again, you know, new opportunities. I know they have some changes in the background of their show, and maybe this is something that they're going to be changing in the future. We'll take note of that. I think we've covered everything.
I believe so, yes.
Justin, do you have anything you want to plug other than anything you want to plug? Plug whatever you want.
Sure. I mean, you can email us at torchcoasttocoast@gmail.com if you have thoughts on this show or independent promotions you'd like us to watch or questions to discuss on Torch Coast to, or Wrestling Coast to Coast. So we're at torchcoasttocoast@gmail.com. I just recently set up a Blue Sky account thanks to a listener. It's at justinmcclellan.bsky.social. I used Twitter tonight to plug this show. So I'm at jmcclelland1, JMCCLELLAND1.
And I'm on the Twitter or X at Mind of Maitland. And thank you again to everyone listening to us. Plenty of stuff here on the Torch. You'll be hearing a lot of people talking about Collision, Dynamite, the NXT show tonight, the final battle next week, Impact coming back as TNA, Raw, SmackDown, whatever. All available on pwtorch.com. So check that out and go VIP. Been a VIP member for several years. I was a member before. I was a client before I became a member. Am I saying that wrong? No. I was the hair comb guy. I messed it up. But in other ways, go VIP. It's a great service. You get a lot of great content from people here at the Torch. For now, we will sign off for Wade Keller. It's Justin McCullen. I'm Chris Maitland. Thank you again for listening to the AEW Collision Post Show. As I said, if you are fans of ours, you want to listen to us more, we will be hosting our regular show, Wrestling Coast to Coast. Comes out on usually Wednesdays or Thursdays, covering MLW's One Shot. But for now, everyone take care and have a good night.